Have you been waiting for a breakthrough? Well, you're in good company. The Bible is full of people who were tested through tough circumstances, including Mary, Noah, Job, the Apostle Paul, and countless others. But what was the common ingredient that allowed these heroes of faith to overcome? Find out right here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, as we continue with a series called Seeking God for a Breakthrough. But first, this September, when you join our Partner in Hope family by signing up for automated monthly giving, we'll send you a special welcome gift as our way of saying thanks. To find out more, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called Praying and Fasting for a Breakthrough.
And the Bible says this in Proverbs 20, verse 30. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Anybody agree with that? Yeah, we've all had experiences with that. We don't change when we see the light. We change when we feel the heat. And when things get bad enough, you never change in life until the fear of change is exceeded by your pain. And when your pain gets worse than your fear, then you change. That's human behavior. And so God often allows upsets and shakeups and pain in our lives. You may be getting ready for a breakthrough right now because you're going through a period of confusion. And you go, I don't have the foggiest idea what I'm supposed to do next with my life. I don't even know. And I'm just kind of in a ball of confusion. I don't know what to do. Or you may be feeling overwhelmed. And you think, there's just too much to get done, and I can't get it all done. And I'm overwhelmed by life. Some of you probably feel that way. Overwhelmed by life. You need a breakthrough. Some of you maybe feel outnumbered. You say, I feel like I'm in the minority here, and I feel like the majority's coming against me, and I don't like this, and I'm outnumbered. And I need a breakthrough. Or you may be thinking, I'm under-resourced. I don't have the money I need to do what I need to do with my life. I don't have the funds. I don't have the resources. And so I need a financial breakthrough. Now, when I talk about this, I want you to ask yourself, where do I need a breakthrough? Some of you need a breakthrough with your health. It's not good, and you've been struggling with it, and you need a physical or health breakthrough with your life. Some of you need a breakthrough in your finances. The truth is, you're not making it, and you're going the wrong way, and you're going deeper and deeper in debt. And you go, I need a financial breakthrough. Some of you need a relationship breakthrough. Your marriage or your friendship or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, you're at an impasse, and you're deadlocked. And you're at a stalemate, and it's not moving forward, and it's just kind of stuck. You may need a breakthrough at school. You may need a breakthrough at work. You may need a new idea, a breakthrough idea for your business. You may need a breakthrough with your kids. And you go, you know, it's just not working. They're heading the wrong direction. I can see it. You may need a breakthrough with God. And that's what we're going to do the next 34 days, which we're calling 34 days of seeking God, is seeking a breakthrough. Now, I have been in ministry for about 45 years. And what I've learned is that breakthroughs happen generally when you seek them. They don't just happen spontaneously. You get a breakthrough in your life when you seek a breakthrough. I've talked to hundreds of thousands of people who were stuck in certain positions, and in order to get to that breakthrough, they had to do some certain things to actually seek it. And that's what we're going to do in the next 34 days, which we're calling 34 days of seeking God. Because I've discovered that breakthroughs typically happen when you seek them. Look at this verse on the screen. The Bible says in Psalm 72, verse 2, when I was in distress, that's pain, I sought the Lord. I'm seeking a breakthrough. And every night, I stretched out my hands to him in prayer. I'm going to teach you how to do that this weekend, how to seek the Lord, how to stretch out your hands in prayer to him When you're in pain, when you're in distress, when you're in confusion, when you're overwhelmed, outnumbered, or under-resourced. And we're actually going to start with a day of fasting, where you go without food for a day, because in the Bible, that's often a sign to God that you're serious about not staying in the condition that you're in. Now, I don't want you to miss this. I don't want you to miss the breakthrough that God has planned for you. So this weekend, we're going to look at, if you'll take out your message notes, praying and fasting for a breakthrough. Praying and fasting for a breakthrough. Now, I want to tell you that if you're listening to this right now, this is not an accident. I've been praying for this message for some time, and I asked God to bring just the right people here. So if you are here hearing me talk about this, I take it pretty seriously that God wants to do a breakthrough in your life. There are a lot of people who won't hear this message because maybe they don't need it. But if you're here, it means God wants to do something special in your life in the next 34 days. And I want you to experience the breakthrough. Now, in the Bible, anytime anybody needed any kind of breakthrough, physical, financial, relational, emotional, needed a breakthrough, they always would seek God through prayer and fasting. Always. And I'm going to give you just a couple examples. I could give you hundreds of these. I'm going to give you an example of two kings. The first one is David. David's probably the most famous king in the Bible. He was king of Israel at its pinnacle of power. He had united all of the 12 tribes together. And yet, he had a great thing going. And always, after something good happens, there is always a downside to it. With every mountaintop, there's a valley. After every victory, there's a test. And we looked at Daniel. We saw all of those tests. He'd have a promotion, get another test. Promotion, get another test. And on and on. David had just got elected, chosen king of Israel. This is a big deal. The moment he gets chosen as king, all hell breaks loose. And that often happens in your life. When something really good happens, you get a promotion or something, right after that, somebody doesn't like it and it starts to crumble. So let me show you this first example. Here on the screen, 1 Chronicles chapter 14 says this. When the Philistines learned that David had been made king of Israel, now the Philistines are the enemy, and they've got a big, big army, bigger than Israel's. They mobilized all of their forces against him, against David, to attack and enslave him. Now, you may have felt this in your life. You maybe felt like the forces were mobilizing against you and that you're under attack and that something or someone or some habit is trying to enslave you. And so he's being mobilized, they're being mobilized to come against David. But David heard the news and he moved to his fortified place. Now, that's a good thing. You ought to have a fortified place. Do you have one? When you're under attack, when times are tough, when you don't know which way to turn, when you feel like everything's against you, what's your fortified place? If you're a member of Saddleback, this is it. This is your fortified place. Our church family is a fortified place. We will pray for you. We will back you up. We will support you. We will be there. That's what small groups are all about. A small group is a fortified place. If you don't have a fortified place when the enemy comes after you, you're going to get killed. And so David pulls back to his fortified place. The church, the family of God, is a fortified place. Now it says this, then the Philistine army moved in and spread out across the entire valley. So they're pretty much encircling him. They're trying to get him so that he has no escape. So what does David do? So David sought the Lord in prayer and he asked, should I go fight these Philistines? Will you give them over to me? Now, here's an important lesson of life. Never fight a battle without asking God first.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
If you're like most people, you're probably struggling with a difficult situation or circumstance in your life, and you need a breakthrough. That's where prayer, powerful prayer, comes in. Whether you need a breakthrough in your health, finances, career, marriage, or another important relationship, persistent, expectant prayer is how God moves to transform lives. And to help you unlock God's power in your life, Pastor Rick created Experience God's Power Through Prayer. This dynamic study book provides information and inspiration that will dramatically transform your prayer life. As you see God answer your prayers, provide for your needs, and open new doors, you'll develop a confidence that God is listening and that He cares. This high-quality hardcover book is filled with full-color devotionals, Bible teachings, scripture, and engaging exercises to help you discover the secret to answered prayer and the pathway to God's amazing power in your life. When you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the certain hope of Jesus to people around the world, we'll send you Experience God's Power Through Prayer to say thanks. And today, when you join the Daily Hope family as a partner in Hope with automated monthly giving, we'll also send you a special surprise gift to welcome you. Call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. Thanks so very much.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
And so it says there, let's go back. So David sought the Lord in prayer. And he asked, should I go fight these Philistines? Will you give them over to me? Now here's an important lesson of life. Never fight a battle without asking God first. Now it says, here's what God said. The Lord replied, yes, go ahead. You can certainly count on me to give you the victory. So David went out and he defeated them. He defeats the enemy. And then David said, this is great. I watched the Lord break through. I watched the Lord break through my enemies like a mighty flood. So he named the place, the Lord broke through. That's what I want to happen in your life. I want you to name a place, the Lord broke through. My finances, the Lord broke through. My impasse in this relationship, the Lord broke through. My schooling, the Lord broke through. You need a breakthrough in your life. But you got to do the things that David did. Now, let me give you a second example. This is another king in Israel. He's got a more weird name. He's not named David. His name is Jehoshaphat. How'd you like to be named that? Jehoshaphat. And this guy is facing overwhelming opposition too. In fact, he's just had a spiritual revival in his nation. Everything's going great. And then all it says that three enemy nations came against this king, Jehoshaphat. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it says this. Look up here on the screen. After this, after what? After they'd had this big spiritual victory. You can always count on it. When things are going good, behind every mountaintop is a valley. After this, all the good things that happened in chapter 19, three enemies joined forces against Judah. That's another name for the northern part of Israel. And their enemies, the Bible actually tells us it was the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Minuites. Now, they may have had the Stalactites and Stalagmites and the Outasites and the Uptites, but I don't know. I do know that there were at least three that were there coming against him. And so he's clearly outmanned, outmaneuvered, outnumbered. And maybe you felt like that in life. He says, after this, the enemies joined forces against Judah, and some men told the king, a vast army is coming against you. Now, that's a reason to worry. And it says, alarmed and afraid, that's a natural first reaction when you are under attack. Alarmed and afraid, King Jehoshaphat resolved to seek the Lord. Now, we're going to come back to this, but notice, he doesn't stay afraid. Instead, he switches from being focused on his worries to focusing on the Lord. It's a resolution. It's a choice. And I'm going to teach you how to do this, how you can break the habit of worry in your life. Alarmed and afraid, he doesn't stay focused on what he doesn't like. He immediately switches his mind to seek the Lord. He takes his vision off the bad things and he puts his vision on God. All right? And then it says this. He resolved to seek the Lord. Then he proclaimed a fast for everyone. Why? Because a fast says, God, we're serious about this. You got our attention. It's just a way of saying we're serious. We mean business on this prayer. So all of the people came together to seek help from the Lord. and they came from everywhere to seek God. Now, this guy, Jehoshaphat, does four things right, and it's the four things you got to do if you want to have a breakthrough in your life, in any area, relational, physical, mental, spiritual, whatever. First thing, instead of worrying, he refocuses on God. A second, it says he resolved, that means he made a choice, to say, I'm going to focus and seek God. I'm going to find out what God wants me to do with my life. I want to know God's will. He resolved to seek the Lord. Third, he fasted. He actually called for a national fast because the whole nation was under attack. So the whole nation said, we're going to go without food. It's saying, God, we're serious about this. We mean business. We want your input on this. And then it says all of the people joined together to seek God through prayer. And the result was a miraculous victory. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. You can go read 2 Chronicles 20. It's one of my favorite stories. But the bottom line is when these three enemy armies came together, God says, you won't have to fight in this battle. Just watch. I'm going to confuse them. And he confuses the three enemies. They start fighting each other. They kill each other off. They all die. And Israel walks into the valley, and they get to pick up all the spoils of war. It took them about 3 days to take off all the spoils of war. And so they named the place the Valley of Blessing. What had been a valley of battle became a valley of blessing. Now, in your life, you got some battles going on, maybe with your parents, maybe with your spouse, maybe with a child, maybe with somebody at work. God wants to turn the valley of battles into a valley of blessing. But the key is to do the four things that Jehoshaphat did and that David did. And they say, well, how about me? How do I do that? How do I do these same four things that these two kings did long ago? Well, Paul tells us how to do it in the book of Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, Paul says, under the inspiration of God, there are four things you need to do if you're going to have a breakthrough. Let me read you that passage, okay? Put it on the screen. Here's what Philippians 4, 6 to 8 says. Don't worry about anything, but pray instead in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So he says, don't worry, but instead he's saying pray. And he says, you do it with thanksgiving. And he says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What is the peace that passes understanding? The peace that passes understanding means I'm at peace and there's no really reasonable reason for it. I'm just at peace. I'm in the middle of the storm. Everything's falling apart around me, but I'm at peace. That's when you have the peace that passes understanding. There's no logical, rational explanation. It's the peace that comes from God. It's not I'm at peace because of this or that or this or that. It's I'm at peace, the peace that passes understanding. There's no reason why I should be calm. There's no reason why I should not be stressed by that, but I'm not. Why? Because I didn't worry about anything, but I put my request before God. And then he says this, then fix your thoughts. That's focus. Fix your thoughts on things that are true, because there's a lot of lies around, and honorable and right. And think about things. This is a mental thing. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. And then he says, and fill your mind. So he says, fix your thoughts, think about things, and fill your mind with thoughts that are excellent and worthy of praise. That passage, friends, gives you the four habits that'll change your life. It gives you the four habits that will give you a breakthrough. And I don't know where you need a breakthrough, but it doesn't matter to me. If you'll do these four things, you'll have a breakthrough. Now, here are the four simple habits. They're simple, but they're not easy to do. Here's the first one. Don't worry about anything. Now, that sounds difficult, but actually, when you learn how fasting breaks worry in your life, you'll understand. Don't worry about anything. Second, he says, pray about everything. You know, if you prayed as much as you worry, you'd have a whole lot less to worry about. And worry doesn't change anything, but prayer does. And then he says, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Thank God in all things. He says, in everything, give thanks. Did you know that gratitude is the breakthrough attitude? The more grateful you are, the more breakthroughs you're going to have in life. And then number four, he says, stay focused on true things. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Thank God in all things. Stay focused on true things. Every day you have to counteract the lies that you hear around you with a daily intake of God's truth. Now let's look at these four habits for breakthrough, according to Philippians chapter 4. Number one, first God says, don't worry about anything. You right now, write that down. Don't worry about anything. Philippians 4:6 says that very thing. Don't worry about anything. The Amplified Translation says, don't fret, don't fear, don't have any anxiety. That may be the single most difficult command in the Bible to keep. Every one of us have broken that commandment. Maybe you haven't murdered, or maybe you haven't committed adultery, but that one's right there in the Bible, along with don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, don't murder, don't commit adultery. God says, don't worry. You break that commandment all the time. And it's in our nature to naturally worry. Jesus said it like this. Look here on the screen. Matthew 6:34. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The reason why we mess up today is because we spend most of our emotional energy regretting the past and worrying about the future. And so we mess up today. It's like three crosses. And you can crucify yourself on guilt and shame and regret from the past, or you can crucify yourself on the cross of worry and anxiety and fear about the future. And as a result, you crucify yourself on the cross today, a messing up today. Worry has never changed anything. Worry is worthless.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. Now, if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, over the last year, we've all experienced worldwide changes and events that have impacted us in profound and sometimes unimaginable ways. For many of us, those changes will impact our lives for years to come. Pastor Rick believes that now more than ever, people need God's Word and the hope that it brings. That's why he'd like to invite you to become a partner in hope. Here's Rick to tell you more.
No matter where you're listening to this program right now around the world, I want to thank you for your support of Daily Hope. Your prayers and your financial contributions are literally helping people all over the world learn about the hope that we have in Jesus. People from over 200 countries have visited the Daily Hope website, and we have listeners all throughout the United States, India, Africa, South America, Australia, Korea, Hong Kong, Europe, all over the Middle East. In fact, right now, someone's listening to this broadcast and getting to know Jesus because of your prayer and because of your financial support. So I just wanted to say thank you. Your support means so much to me personally, and I want you to know that I take your trust very seriously. Every single dollar you donate to Daily Hope goes right back into the ministry. You know that I don't take a salary from Daily Hope. You're never going to hear about Kay and me owning a private jet or some boat, because we want to invest as much as possible into God's kingdom, because that's what's going to matter for eternity. Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth. And I believe Jesus meant it when he said that. Now, we want Daily Hope to reach more and more people. So I would appreciate you prayerfully continuing your support of this ministry. Would you pray about it? Here's the prayer I want you to pray. God, what do you want to give through me? I would love to have you as a partner in hope.
To become a partner in hope, call 800-600-5004 or visit PastorRick.com. When you do, we'll send you Pastor Rick's study resource, Experience God's Power Through Prayer, and a very special surprise thank you gift to show our appreciation. That's PastorRick.com or just call 800-600-5004. And thanks so very much. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.